desire and interest in your prayers this morning. Certainly value the amazing love of Jesus Christ that was big enough to include me. Thankful for that. I'd like to write the title of the lesson on the board this morning. I'd like to start by reading a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4. 1 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, and the 4th verse. It said, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." That's our text this morning, so I'm going to read it one more time. Maybe you were finding it in your Bible and didn't hear everything that was read, so I'm going to read it again. This is Paul speaking, and he said, "But as we were allowed of God," it's because of God that whatever it is he's getting ready to say, it was something that God permitted, that God made a way for this to take place. "For as we were allowed of God," not man, but of God, "to be put in trust," to have something placed in my care, in trust with the gospel. And so that's what it was that was put in Paul's care, put in his trust. Somebody trusted Paul, God, to deliver the gospel unto him. It said, "Even so we speak." With that in mind, "even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." So God knows me. He knows my heart. He knows what he's given to me. He knows all about what has happened since. He knows what the purpose was. He allowed this gospel to be put in my care. And so now I'm speaking not as with an intent to please man, but to please God, because that's what this is about. And he tries the hearts. So I have a question for us this morning. Who has been put in trust or with trust of the gospel? Maybe I could rephrase that. Who all has been put in trust with the gospel? Only Paul? Not just Paul.
Everyone who follows the Lord.
So too are we, have been put in trust with the gospel. We have been privileged. We've been gifted. We've been blessed with this hope of the gospel. Those of that are here today, we've been very blessed to know it. And with that comes a responsibility. Some time ago, we read the parable where it said that the master gave each one talent. Remember that? He had 10 talents, 10 people, and so then he gave each a talent. And it said that all of them, they went their way, and the master went away, the Lord went away for a time. But then one day he came back. And when he came back, he gathered all of those together that he had given this talent, this resource, this tool, this gift. And he gathered them all back together so that they could all give an account of how they managed this talent that had been put in, that had been placed in their trust. And brothers and sisters, this morning, all of us, really, to a large extent, some of you are pretty young, but all of us this morning have been given responsibility of the gospel, of the Word of God. And one day, we too will stand before the Lord, and we too will give an account for how we used, how we applied, how we shared this talent, if you will, this gift of the gospel. And I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I want to be a faithful servant on how I use the gift of the gospel, because I don't want to put off being faithful. I don't want to always have this thought, well, someday I want to be faithful with the gospel. I don't want to live my life where I feel like, well, you know, when the Lord maybe someday helps me be more qualified with the gospel, that maybe that day I'll be faithful in those terms with the gospel, because time is uncertain, and time and our life, it's a gift, and it's passing, and souls are going out into eternity and they're meeting God, and souls are living life, many of them in darkness, and they need help, and they're searching, and they're looking for something. And Brother Shane said this morning in Sunday school that many times the Lord works through other people. That was how he designed it. And he wants us to be vessels that are conduits, that are conduits that he can work in and through to share the gospel to people that are without. And I want to be faithful today. I want to be faithful tomorrow. I don't want to push it off and know that it's the right thing to do, but have so many reasons why maybe now's not the right time. Well, we've been a little bit on a journey over these past several months considering the subject of stewardship, managing those things that have been put in our care, those things that have been entrusted to us that weren't ours, that we could have created on our own in the first place. And it's not a small topic. It's not a distant topic. It is a very real, present responsibility that touches every single one of us, and it has eternal consequences. So we've given it time and consideration and seriousness, because it's where we live. We've talked about the gift of time. We've talked about gifts and talents. Maybe we'll just write them on the board one more time. We have been given these things as stewards to faithfully manage. Time, talents, and gifts. possessions, that's passing. This is passing. This is passing. I'll abbreviate relationships and influence. It's a gift, is passing. And now, this morning, by the help of the Lord, we want to give consideration to the gospel. Yes, the responsibility that we have in how we apply this to our own individual lives, but it's very difficult to separate how it's applied to our lives without incorporating how it applies to other people's lives too, through us, because that's part of the gospel. But I think it's important to think about how we approach sharing the gospel, because it's been entrusted to us. The gospel has. And the gospel brings so much more than what we can offer. And if I may again, I wish everyone could have heard the Sunday school this morning. Brother Shane said that there's some things that we can do. God's given us these gifts. You don't have to pray about, as was mentioned, you don't have to pray about whether it's right to give a drink of water to somebody that's thirsty that comes and asks you for a drink. It's the right thing to do, and you can do it, and you can help satisfy some of that natural thirst. And the Lord works through people to show himself to other people. He designed it that way. It's a responsibility that we have as individuals, and by nature of sharing the gospel with other people, we ourselves experience growth. Sometimes we think it's just about the other person. It's not just about the other person. Many times it's about me too and you too. And sometimes we can miss how the Lord puts that all together. But he gives us these talents. He has given some, all, if I can say it this way, one talent of the gospel, meaning he gave you the gospel, and he gave me the gospel, and he gave somebody else the gospel. There's the other parables where he gave some one, some two, some five talents and gifts. But we all, the whole of who we are, we have strengths in some areas. Some people are strong in one area, weak in another. Somebody else might be strong in the other, in an area somebody else is weak. And the Lord gives us those things to steward, to manage, that he wants us to use for his kingdom. And some of these things, time and the talents that he gives you naturally, the responsibility he gives you, which includes some of your possessions, it includes your relationships with other people, the influence you have on other people, your possessions, yes, material possessions that are going to pass away. We have a responsibility to use our material possessions in part to increase the kingdom of heaven. And we can do some things within our power, if I can say it that way, the power that has been given to us by God. But then there's a limit to this. That this can fill, that nobody else can, except for Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel. And the Lord wants us to use our time, our talents and gifts, our possessions, our relationships and influence together to help share the gospel. And so in a way, over these past several months now, we've been building towards our primary objective and purpose in life. And it is to use the things that God has given us to show and to share the hope of the gospel. Why? I think about the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of John. She was thirsty. She was tired. She was spiritually unqualified. She was spiritually undeserving, really, of more than what she had. She was empty. She wasn't able to find fulfillment, the fulfillment that she really needed through other people. She had five
husbands.
And none of those five husbands were able to satisfy the need that she had. And I have this feeling that had she married a sixth time, and a seventh, and on, that it still would have remained unfulfilled. And I believe that her story is our story without Jesus. We would all be thirsty and tired and unfulfilled and searching and needy and really spiritually unqualified to receive spiritual blessings because of our own lives. Our righteousness, the scripture says, is as filthy rags. And so one beautiful day, Jesus Christ met her at the well, and he said, "I have something to give you. And if you drink this, it will prove to be transformative in your life. This thing that you've been searching for and haven't found. And you have to keep coming back over and over and over again to get some kind of some short-term relief. I have what you need. It's living water. And if you drink of me, if you drink of the hope of the gospel, you can have it." And I feel like that's where we are without the hope of the gospel. That we're all there where she was. And when Jesus told her that, it was perhaps her response was, "Me? I could be included in that? I didn't think you wanted to have anything to do with us. We can drink from the same well. I can. You'll let me drink from where you dip your vessel. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. You'll allow those that previously weren't allowed to have this wonderful gift. Yes. Yes. I have something. I have water that if you will drink, it's for everyone, regardless of your background, regardless of the hurts that you've had in your life, regardless of your disappointments, regardless of your spiritual disqualifying characteristics in your life. Yes, you can drink if you'll come." And so on the last great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out. And you've heard me say this before. I like thinking about it this way. Jesus didn't sit and cry out. He didn't stand and whisper. He stood and he cried out because he wanted everyone to hear. If any man thirst, any man thirst, come and drink. Come. If there's anyone out there, Jew, Gentile, regardless of where you came from, regardless of the past sin in your life, are you thirsty? Do you have this unfulfilled need? Are you tired? Are you discouraged? Do you feel like you're walking in darkness? Do you feel like you've been disqualified to the point that even when you hear the preaching of the gospel, you feel like, well, that's for everybody else but me. Somehow I'm different. I've been separated out. That window of opportunity has passed by my way. This is just me. No, Jesus stood and he cried your name. He cries your name yet today. Do you thirst? Come and drink that you might find life, living water that you can have. That will satisfy. And it comes from the hope of the gospel. Are you drinking from that well this morning? Have you experienced it? Are you sharing the good news of the gospel to those that don't have it? We started this morning by reading where Paul declared his responsibility to the gospel. And he said it had been placed in his trust or care. And now by extension, it becomes a responsibility of us this morning. Consider 2 Timothy 2 and 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me, heard from me among many witnesses." In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, this gospel that you have heard, those things that I have taught you that came from the hope of the gospel, the very same thing you, Timothy, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so on, and so on, and so on. So that if he would go share it with faithful men, that would then those faithful men would go teach other people, and then among those people there would be faithful people that would then go and teach other people. The hope of the gospel could be propagated out into all of the world, that they might find the answer to what they are looking for. Yes, we all teach. We contribute to teaching. We influence people that are around us. We can't help it. And hopefully we're using our time and our talents and gifts and our possessions and our relationships and influence that we have to teach and to influence other people. But in the end, folks, it's what we teach. It's what we convey. It's how we influence that makes all the difference. It's Lord, am I doing it in a way that where the hope of the gospel is behind what it is I'm teaching? Lord, the manner in which I influence, does it reflect the Word of God? And again, a question for all of us today to be challenged with is, to what extent is the hope of the gospel used in your own life? What is its role in your life? Is the gospel something that's just viewed as one of many things that influence, primarily my life. Or maybe said another way, maybe it's one that has equal value with all of these other things that lead and guide my life. Or do I live my life with the kind of purpose and motivation that the gospel is at the core, it's at the center, it's foundational to everything else that I do in my life. It's Lord, let my time, the use of my time, be such that it's consistent and doesn't take away from the hope of the gospel, and on and on. Through these other gifts that God has given to us. What kind of time and space? We talk about that a lot here because it's where we live. The gospel, it has practical application in our lives. You say, well, it's just theory, it's doctrine, but how does it apply? We have to give it time and space in our lives. That's one way that it applies. And as we begin to look at the time and the space that we give it in our lives, what story does that tell? I'm speaking of the gospel. Do we give ourselves to understand the hope of the gospel in our own lives? Do we refer to it daily? Is it something that rises to the level of, what does the gospel say? How should I live my life so that I can be most pleasing to the Lord? Do we use it as a primary resource to recommend ways of life to other people? Or do we withdraw, and is it just within our own lives? We live in a world where, and you all know this, there's so many competing voices that are trying to get our attention, and competing distractions, and competing interests, and so many things that we are told to place priority on, right? Every day. They call out for your attention. And they want you to give time and space to it. And yay, we as people often refer to many truths and posts and podcasts and sayings of other people. Hey, did you see such and such post? Did you see what so and so said? Did you watch this podcast? May not have anything to do with the gospel, but we can spend a lot of time referring to and talking about things with other people that originate by other people. But what about the gospel? How about the gospel be the primary go-to? First of all, by the conduct of your life. It was never intended to be a hammer. It was never intended to beat people down. It was never intended to walk around just waiting to use the gospel to show somebody where they're wrong. That is not the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is intended to call out and echo. Let me say it that way. To echo the cry of Jesus Christ when he stood and said, if any man thirst, this is where you can come get a drink. Do we use it like that? We decide what is priority in our lives. We make choices every day where we're going to spend our time, how our perspective, how our point of view is going to be informed. We make decisions every day about this very limited amount of time that we have and what we're going to plug into it. We make decisions all the time about how we're going to use our talents and gifts. For ourselves, for other people, or bury them. We make decisions about how we're going to use our possessions. We make decisions every day about how we're going to use our time relative to the relationships we have with other people and the influence that we have with other people that God has gifted to us. And we make decisions regarding to what extent we are going to allow the gospel to be at the foundation of this. And so I ask myself, how am I doing? Because it's in the end, it's the gospel. It's the hope of the gospel that is pointing and directing people to something that goes beyond what we can give as humans. It's the gospel points people to the bread of life. It's the written word of God. It's the written bread of life. And it points us to the living bread of life. And the Lord wants we as people, as stewards that have been entrusted with the gospel, He wants us to get in touch with His Holy Spirit, to have His Holy Spirit living in us, and to be our comforter and our teacher and our instructor and our light, so that we can then take that, yes, for the saving of our own souls, but then that we can take that out and share the hope of the gospel with people that are without. How does it get any better than that? Why let anything else take the place of the hope of the gospel? It's not just about form. It's not just about religion for the sake of having a religion. It's not a crutch to just try to help us through the hard times and play mind games with ourselves. You know, it's not a hammer, as I mentioned. It's real. It is about life. It is about satisfying the need that every single one of us have, whether people recognize it or not. And the Lord wants us to be faithful to take this. And so Jesus, before He left the world, He shared His heart's desire for us. He shared His desire that we would take this gospel into the world and be a light. That we would take this gospel wherever we go and be the salt of the earth. His plan is for us to be filled with His living Holy Spirit, that it may emanate from our lives and touch the lives of those that perhaps are in darkness. The gospel is intended to turn deception into understanding and light. The gospel is intended to help people turn from wrong to right, to go from empty to full, to go from darkness to light, go from unfulfilled to fulfilled. And He's entrusted this powerful gospel into your hand. And He's made us stewards over it. And before He left, He said, take this into the world. It's the plan of God. It's not the plan of man. It's the plan of God. What plan are we adopting in our lives? Have we largely adopted the plan of man that focuses primarily on the earth, on things that will pass away? Or have we primarily adopted the plan of God that we might be able to share something that won't ever pass away, that leads to life? I know it gets close, because it is close. It's what our lives are about. It's reality. But it's life-changing, and it has the power to transform people's lives that are in trouble. So I'll close this morning, close what has been a bit of a lengthy subject on stewardship, and I'd like to close where we started back in February and read out of 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, what I would like to leave you with. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I'll read the first verse with it. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, which we are, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Stewardship is about the management of life. Stewardship is about our decision-making processes. Stewardship has everything to do with where we place our heart. And it's very spiritual, and it has eternal consequences with it. And the hope and the beauty of the gospel has been gifted into our hands in so many ways. All of these ways that the Lord has been so good to give us these gifts. And what that means is that me and you, we have been put in trust with the gospel. I want to be faithful to myself. I want to be faithful to God. And I want to be faithful to other people, souls that are around me with these precious passing gifts. I want to be true. Let's all be true. Pray for me. Amen.